The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation from Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Welcome once again to Showcase, the anthology series from Dream Realm Enterprises. I am your host, Jeff Niles. This week, we are showcasing a remake of a story originally presented as part of the anthology series The Realm Weaver, which was then titled Breaking the Gloaming. Writer Jonathan Batchelor Russell was never fully satisfied with that production due to the various sound quality issues. Despite its shortcomings, it was a very successful production, and one of John's favorite scripts, which was based on an idea given to him by Aurora McPherson. John had always hoped to remount the production and remake it altogether. What you are about to hear is his hope fully realized. Though the original cast was very successful in their performances, this more recent production of the story sees two different actors taking on the roles of the man and the woman. The title has also changed, reverting to the original working title, A Voice in the Dark. Imagine, if you can, being thrown into the deepest, darkest place that you can imagine. Left there alone with only darkness and your own thoughts for company.
Get off me! No! No! No, I won't go! No! Leave me alone! No! Leave me alone! Let me go! No! Let me out of here! Let me out! Let me out! No!
I had been thrown into a deep, dark prison cell. When I say dark, I mean very dark. Pitch black, in fact. The only light to be found was the slightest hint of light that I could sometimes see through the cracks around the door. And even then, I had to sometimes question whether I was actually seeing light or if I was merely imagining it. It was a metal door and locked securely. There was no way out that way. And believe me, I would try on many occasions. But that first night, I couldn't get my head wrapped around escaping at all. So all I did was whimper and cry. The disbelief of what was happening paralyzed me.
I didn't do it! I don't belong here! No! I'm innocent! I'm an innocent man, I tell you!
I fell asleep that night, repeating those same words over and over again. I had been thrown into what seemed like the darkest pit in the world for a crime I had not committed. My defense had been pathetic. The case against me, though obviously trumped up, was open and shut. That's what happens when you find yourself in trouble in a third world country. You find that you don't matter, that you're no one, that your life is worthless. I had been thrown into the darkest pit in all the world, simply to rot, to fade away, to be forgotten. Time passed. It was difficult to say just how much time. Weeks, months. Time had no meaning anymore. My only company was the few rats that somehow found their way into my cell. And I was lucky in that, because now and again, one would get close. And that little fellow would never see the daylight again. Those rats were my only means of food, as I soon learned. My captors had no intention of feeding me or even keeping me alive. I was sent into that dark hole simply to die. But I was determined it wouldn't be that way. I would survive if it killed me. As days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, the loneliness crept in. My one longing was to hear another human voice. One night, as I crouched in the corner of my cell weeping, my prayer was finally answered. Had I really heard it? Was it truly someone else crying in that awful place? Yet when I called out, no one answered.
Is someone there? Please tell me, are you there? Anyone, someone, please, please answer.
No response came. I was alone. I must have imagined it. I heard what I wanted to hear. As the days passed by, and the loneliness persisted, my mind wandered all over the place. To my home, to my family growing up, to friends I hadn't seen for so very long. And then, my mind began to wander further, to places I had never even been. Seeing faces I had never even seen, hearing voices I hadn't even ever heard before. I created my own reality in that darkness. It was the only way I could hold on to my sanity. And then one night, I heard it again.
Hello? Hello? You must hear me. Hello? Please hear me. No, 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 please, please keep crying. If you aren't going to speak to me, at least keep crying. Just so I can hear you. Just so I can hear that I'm not alone in this godforsaken place. Are you in the next cell? Where are you? Tell me, please. I beg you. I don't want to be alone. I need to know someone else is out there. Has the world died? Am I the only one left, or am I dead? Is this what it's like to be dead? Just alone in the dark?
You are not alone.
I can't believe it! Yes! I'm not alone! You're there! You're really there! Oh, please! Please, keep talking to me, please! Let me hear you!
You are not alone. You have never been alone.
Oh, thank you. Oh, God, thank you. You don't know how much it means to me. Just to hear another voice, just to know that someone else is out there, or rather, in here, with me.
I'm here. I promise. I am with you.
Why haven't you spoken before? Oh, hell, that doesn't matter. I'm just happy that you're speaking to me now. I'm as giddy as a schoolboy. And all I want is to just keep hearing you. Come on, just talk to me, please. Just tell me something, anything. I just want to hear your voice. I just have to know that you're really out there. Oh, I hope you're really out there. Or could I be losing my mind? Am I just imagining you?
I'm here. I'm with you. I promise. You're not crazy or anything. You're not alone.
I just don't believe this is happening. I've been alone in this darkness for so long.
You haven't been alone.
Maybe I wasn't. I heard you crying once before, but I thought I'd imagined it. Maybe you were just afraid to speak to me then. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. You're speaking to me now. You're speaking. We're speaking to each other. It's just so wonderful. Wow, you think I just found my freedom? I'm so happy right now.
But you are free. You just can't see it.
What? Oh, never mind. It doesn't matter. How long have you been in here? Where are you from? Just tell me something. Anything. I just want to hear you talk to me. Please talk to me. I don't really care what you say. You can tell me the moon is made of green cheese and that the sky is pink. I don't mind. Just as long as you keep talking to me.
Why did you think you were alone?
Oh, well, I've been here for some time now. Must have been
weeks already. I hadn't heard anyone before now. And I never heard them bring anyone else into this dark pit. Maybe it was while I was sleeping at some point. But that really doesn't matter. I assumed I was alone. Well, nearly alone. The only companionship I've had in here were my little benefactors.
You mean the rats?
Yes, lunch. The only thing on the menu. All right, well, they're an acquired taste, I'll grant you. But when there's nothing else, when you've got no choice, when it's either eat or die, yeah, rat's good food. Never thought I'd hear myself say that. Never thought I'd live long enough to say anything to anyone ever again. But I was determined to survive. Determined I'd get out of this place someday. And I'm still pretty determined. So far, I've been living by sheer willpower alone. But perhaps that's enough.
Perhaps. Because I believe that's the only reason I'm here now. By sheer force of will.
You're obviously a very unique woman. And I'm grateful that you're here. Regardless how or why. Are you there? I must have fallen asleep. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe it is time for some sleep. At least I'm not alone anymore. And for that, I'm so grateful to you.
I fell asleep that night with a newfound comfort. A newfound inner peace. I wasn't alone anymore. It's the one sentence that resonated throughout my being. I wasn't alone. Not anymore. My new companion wasn't always so talkative. In fact, there were days when she wouldn't speak to me at all. And it worried me. I worried I might never hear her voice again. But then... it was like music to my ears. She wasn't talking to me, but at least I could hear her.
Oh, you're there! I hope I didn't offend you in some way before. Oh, please don't cry. Come on, you're not alone. I'm here. You can talk to me if you want. Or not. It's okay. But just know that you aren't alone in here. I'm with you. Do you hear me? You were there for me when I needed someone. Now I'm here for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are not alone. I'm here. I promise. I'm here with you.
I know you are.
Oh, you're speaking to me again. Oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice. You just can't imagine. I was worried there for a while when you weren't speaking to me.
Don't worry. You haven't offended me.
Oh, good. I'm pleased. I was really worried about that. But why have you been so quiet?
Perhaps I've become so used to being alone that I didn't notice you were there.
I can understand that. The mind plays rotten tricks on you in the dark, especially when it's a non-ending darkness such as this. At times, I think my mind plays tricks on me. I can almost swear I could see lights. Just little balls of light, you know, just hovering around the place. It's very strange, but... Well, I suppose that's to be expected.
Maybe. The darkness can be so oppressive.
Yes, that's one word for it. Oppressive. Hey, tell me. Have you ever seen any lights at all from where you are?
Once. Yes.
You did?
Yes. It was a bright light, yet faint. And so distant. I wanted to go to it. But something stopped me. I don't know what. And now... I seem to be stuck here. In this oppressive darkness.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're stuck in this dark place with me. It's no place to be. I know if I had the choice, I'd take any cell they put me in as long as there was at least some light, however dim, anything but this darkness. As I said, it plays tricks on your mind, the dark. Sometimes I think I can see movement like... I don't know, like someone is walking through the wall, but I soon realize no one is there. I'm alone in here. Just one man alone in a tiny cell.
You are never alone. You haven't been alone since the day they brought you here. I've been with you the entire time.
Of course. I suppose you heard me crying and screaming that first night.
I've heard your cries. Every night. I've felt your pain. Every day. I know your suffering as it was mine. We are the same, you and I. No different. Our fate is the same.
I'm sorry, but this light you said that you once saw, could you tell me what it was? Where it came from? Could you make out anything about it?
Yes. It was welcoming. Inviting. Warm. I could feel it.
Feel? I don't think I can feel anything anymore. The first few weeks, all I could feel was the pain from my beatings, the ones they gave me right before they threw me down here. The discomfort from wearing the same clothes, from having no water in which to bathe, the itchiness from growing a beard, which I always hated to do. Nothing but discomfort. That's all I felt at first. Hating the taste of raw rat meat, the sickening smell of this cell after I'd been here for a few days. But now, all I feel is numb. I feel nothing. I smell nothing. I see nothing. But the one sense I do still have is the ability to hear. I can hear lunch. The rats. I can hear my own movements across the damp ground. The water that trickles in here from somewhere. I don't know where, but thankfully it comes. Thankfully I have moisture to drink. Precious little of it, but I just manage a few drops a day. I suppose that's what keeps me alive. But beyond that, what I hear is you. Your voice is like music to my ears, and it's the most beautiful song I've ever heard. Your voice, oh, I'm so grateful for your voice. Thank you for that precious gift. Oh, so lovely.
Her singing was indeed so very lovely. I couldn't believe my ears. Here I had been talking about the beautiful sound of her voice, and she blessed me with a song. Even though hearing her talk had been song enough, but hearing her humming that tune, it was as if Christmas had come. And so I lay there just listening. It was so moving that it reduced me to tears. And soon I drifted off into the most peaceful sleep I'd had in some time. My new companion turned out to be a true gift, a blessing. I found myself telling her things I'd never told anyone.
I've made mistakes in my life. I suppose everyone has. There were so many times since I've been in this hellhole that I wished I'd told my mother that I loved her, but I never did. Well, not since I was a little boy. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever told anyone those three little words. I love you. Three simple words that mean so very much. I don't know why I held things in. Maybe I thought a man shouldn't have to say such things, that it's in his deeds, not his words, that love is shown. But I know now how wrong I was. So very wrong.
Have you ever loved? Truly loved?
That's a good question. I've been with women. A number of women, sure, but...
But were they more than the fulfillment of your physical desires?
Most? No. But one was more than that. But then there's always one, isn't there? One who stands out from the crowd. One who captures not only your attention, but your heart. Maybe even your soul.
Who was she?
Just someone I grew up with. Someone I went to school with. Someone I loved before I even knew what love was. She used to write poetry, you know.
Something I had no appreciation for until I heard hers. She was so deep, so thoughtful and caring, so full of life, so sure of herself.
Whatever happened to her?
She died some years back.
And she died without knowing you loved her.
She knew. At least, I think she knew.
Surely, she must have known. If ever she looked into your eyes, then yes. I'm sure she knew. Because the eyes are the window to the soul. Or, at least, that's what I was always told. It always felt like the truth.
I was going to ask her to marry me.
So you did love her.
It was never the ability to love that I had problems with. But in saying it. But life is like that, isn't it? You think you're invincible, immortal, that you can live forever, that there will be time to say all the things you intend to say, all the things you feel inside. You think you can keep them inside until the right moment, that there's simply no rush. But then you realize just how mortal you are. First you watch your father die, a man you idolized, then lose your sister to an incurable disease, an evil, wretched parasite of a disease. Then you lose the woman you love. The one who meant everything to you. Everything. And finally, the woman who gave birth to you. And you soon realize how little time you truly have. You ask yourself the question, why did I wait so long? Why didn't I just say the simple truth? Why did I hold back? And then you're plucked from your life and thrown into a deep, dark hole, left to rot, left to ponder on all of life's mysteries. And then you realize, now you truly do have all the time in the world, but nothing to do with it. No one around to tell the meaningful things to anymore. Nothing to do but think, ponder, hope, dream.
And despair.
Despair? Huh. I suppose so. Well, I very nearly did. Until I heard your voice. You've given me hope, and I don't even know your name. Well, I suppose it doesn't matter. At least you're here.
She was quiet for the rest of the night. Despite the in I gave her, she either didn't care to tell me her name or just felt the same way I did, that it simply didn't matter. So we remained strangers. No ties, no contacts, just two voices breaking the gloaming. No, names didn't matter. She was there. I wasn't alone. And that was what mattered to me right then at that moment. And nothing else seemed to matter at all. Despite the silence the rest of that night, we did talk more and more often. Our conversations went from one end of the spectrum to the other. They were deep sometimes, but at times, I felt as if I could get nowhere with her. I so wanted to know her, to understand her, and to understand her pain. It's all right, you know. I know it's hard, but you don't have to cry. Unless you just need to.
You cannot help me. No one can help me now.
But why not? Why do you cry so often? Can't I comfort you in any way?
There's no comfort for me. I cry because I don't know what else to do. I cry because there's simply no hope at all. I cry because I am alone.
You're not alone. I'm here.
Look, I know we can't see each other. I know we can't touch each other. But we've got each other. So neither of us are alone. Not as long as we have each other to talk to. Look, I know I'm nothing tangible to you. I'm nothing more than a voice in the dark. But I promise you, I am here. And I'm not going anywhere.
Yes. Yes, you are. You will leave this place. And soon.
What? How can you know that? What if I never escape this place? What if I just rot away in here?
Like me?
No, I didn't mean it like that. You're not rotting away in here. I promise you that. I won't let that happen. Look, what if... I don't know... What if I find a way out of here? And what if I take you with me?
You can't. I can never leave.
If I can get to you, will you come with me?
You can't get to me.
Are you telling me that if you could go, you wouldn't? Don't cry, please. I didn't mean to upset you. If I could hold you right now, I would, you know.
And I would let you.
I never wanted to hold someone so much in my entire life. If I could have reached her, I would have held on to her for dear life. It was the first time since I'd been in this dark place that hearing her voice was just not enough. I wanted more. I needed more.
I know you don't like answering questions, but please tell me one thing. How long have you been here?
I can't answer that. There's simply no way of telling.
I understand. You lose track of time in the darkness. I have to wonder myself sometimes just how long it's been since they threw me down here. I know it's been months at least, but sometimes I have to wonder if maybe I've been here for years now. I've been down here so long, I sometimes forget why, or even how it happened.
Why are you here?
It was stupid, really. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I got into a bar fight, of all things, with some drunkard. Just some stupid words said in anger. God, it was so pointless and silly, and then it just got out of hand, and before I knew it, the whole bar full of people just started fighting, just for the hell of it, really. And the next thing I knew, the guy who had started the fight was dead. Someone had broken a bottle and stabbed him with the sharp end. Well, since it was just mass confusion, and I suppose since I was the one foreigner in the establishment, they just assumed it was me. Or else it was just easy to pin it on the stranger. That's what I get for taking a vacation in a third world country, where the laws are made up as they go along. Now I'm stuck here. In this hellhole. Left to die and rot here. I have no friends on the outside to help me. No one even gives a damn anymore. No one in this country or in my own. I'm just all alone in the world now. So, I suppose I just may as well be left in a hole to rot.
Please don't say that. I'm certain someone must care for you.
I wish. No. No family. No close friends. Not even a casual girlfriend. So, what about you? Why were you sent here? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you again. You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. I suppose I stuck my foot in my mouth and asked too much of you.
I couldn't say anything more that night. I felt so awful. I wondered how I could be so stupid. How could I set her off like that? Whatever the reason was that she had come to be in this dark hole with me, it must have been something pretty bad. Whatever it was, obviously I wasn't going to hear it that night. And all I could do was wish that I could hold her, comfort her somehow. I only wanted, in some small way, to make it better for her. The following day, I began to resume my search for some way out of my predicament. It wasn't just for me anymore. It was for her, too. I had to find some escape route. There had to be a way. I was getting pretty determined.
You're wasting your time. There's no way out of here. I've searched and searched. It's pointless.
Nothing is pointless. If I visualize it in my mind, I can make it happen.
You certainly are stubborn.
I just refuse to give up. I refuse to give in to this fate. I will not die here. I will not rot here. And neither will you.
It's too late for me. You simply don't understand.
I understand plenty. I understand that there is a life outside these walls for me and for you. If you'll join me, I just have to find you. And find the way out.
You must understand. You can't find me. You just can't see that I'm already lost. While you hold on to hope for yourself, please realize that there is none left for me.
You are asking me to give up on you, and that I just can't do. I refuse.
If actions of futility will make you happy, then go ahead and try. The darkness will break you, as it broke me.
You're not broken. It may feel that way right now, but believe me, you are not broken. You're whole. You're a whole living person.
You're so wrong about that.
I beg to differ.
Won't you just listen to me? It's too late for me. This you must come to terms with.
Never. There is nothing you can say or do to convince me of what you are telling me.
You really are an infuriating man sometimes. Do you know that?
Guess what? You aren't the first person to ever tell me that.
You are infuriating and stubborn.
Maybe I was being stubborn and infuriating, but I had a full head of steam now, and nothing she could say was ever going to stop me. So my search continued. I searched all day, and soon I began to think that maybe she was right after all, that it was pointless. Eventually, dinner time came again, and my little friends returned, and that is when the answer hit me.
The rats!
What?
The rats, yes! That's the answer! That's the way out! Don't you see? The rats can get in! The rats can get out! Now all I have to do is think like a rat!
Well, you said you thought you might be going crazy. And if you're starting to think like a rat, you're showing the signs.
Ha ha, very funny. But trust me, I'm onto something here. They don't come in around the door, because I've searched all around it. There's simply not enough room for them to come in that way. No, 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 no. Oh, there has to be another way that they come in. Let me see, let me see, let me see, let me see.
As I said, crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, hang on a minute. The rats, tell me you've seen the rats, you must have.
Of course, they're the one constant in this awful place.
Exactly! Exactly right!
So now that you're so proud of yourself, mind telling me what you're going on about?
It's elementary, my dear. Whatever your name is. I've just found where they're coming from. It's a hole. Not very big, but it's here, in the wall. And it must curve up and lead to the next cell, and that would explain why I can hear you. It's so simple.
You really don't think you can escape through a rat hole, do you? Because if you do, that crazy thing... Well, it could be happening.
No, of course not. I can't escape through a tiny hole like that, that's true.
Some sense and reason at last.
But if I can somehow make the hole bigger, that would work. Don't you see?
Possibly. Maybe. That is, after you've been digging for about, I don't know, a year or two? Maybe then, just maybe, you can escape your cell. Wow, you've solved it.
Oh, ha ha ha. You really think you're so hilarious, don't you?
Possibly.
Well, this may be madness, but trust me, there's method to my madness.
If you say so.
I do say so. Now look.
You mean listen.
Whatever. It will take some time, yes, but remember, I'm stubborn. I'll never give up. I will dig this hole, and then I will get out of my cell, and then I'll find a way for both of us to escape. You'll see. My stubbornness will pay off in the end.
I was being stubborn, all right.
But more than that, I had become determined. Determined to dig that hole wider. Determined to find my way through that wall. Just to get to see her. Just to touch her. To hold her. That was really what was driving me. An unending desire to hold her. Of course, proving her wrong would be a nice bonus too. As it turned out, digging my way out of my cell was a much larger task than I had anticipated. And even after many days, or was it weeks? Well, doesn't matter. It appeared as though I'd gotten nowhere. With only my fingernails to use as digging tools, it had probably taken a month to get no further along than 6 inches or so. But determination kept me going. Hearing her voice was my motivation. Though much of our conversation turned to mockery as she continued to try to discourage my efforts, she always continued to stress their futility.
It could take you years to dig your way through that hole.
So? Then it'll take years. I don't care. Besides, you've pointed that out before, and that argument has proven unsuccessful.
You're wasting the precious time you have.
It's my time to waste, right?
You're going to die in here, no matter what you think you'll find at the end of that hole.
Then I'll die trying.
It just seems like such a waste of time and effort.
It's my time and my effort. Why are you so set on turning me back? If it's my time to waste, then it's simply futile to even attempt it, as you say. Yet I'm as stubborn as you say. Why waste time debating the point with me? Oh, no. No. That crying routine isn't going to stop me either.
I am only trying to spare you the heartbreak.
My heart is already breaking, which is why I have to get to you. Don't you see?
No, I don't see. What are you talking about?
I'm desperate to get to you.
But why? It's pointless.
Love isn't pointless.
Love?
Yes, love. I need to get to you. I need to find you, don't you see?
No, I don't see.
You are the one thing that has kept me going in here all this time. You are the reason I fought to survive. You are the reason I'm doing all this digging day in and day out. All this pain I'm going through, my aching fingers and hands, I dig and dig until my hands bleed. I'm not doing it all for my health, you know. It's all for you. Can't you see that? It's all because I desperately love you. I never thought I'd live to say that, but it's true.
You can't love me.
Can't? Well, why not?
Because I won't let you.
Look, sweetheart, it's not a question of letting me. I'm already doing it. I love you. I love you. It's a matter of fact. So get used to it.
But you can't love me.
Do we have to have this conversation over and over again? I already do.
Then your heart will break in the end.
Then I guess it'll just have to break.
Don't you get it?
La 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 la, not listening.
Don't be childish.
What if I want to be childish?
Listen to me. I'm unreachable.
I don't believe that.
I'm unattainable.
How many words are you going to use to describe it? What, have you got a dictionary hidden away in your cell or something?
You just don't get it, do you? Are you really so dense?
Are you saying you don't love me? That you can't love me?
The can't part, yes. That's it.
Well, I can't accept that.
Why not?
Because it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, what are you saying? That I'm not lovable? Do you hate the sound of my voice? Do I stink? Of course I stink. Well, I mean, if that's what the reason is, I promise I'll take a shower the minute we're out of here.
No, you fool!
Then what is it? What are you saying to me?
I'm saying I no longer have a heart. It's as cold as ice now. My heart is out of reach of any living soul. You must understand this. Love is impossible for me. Love is impossible for us.
Hearing her words was not only heartbreaking, but soul-shattering. But in my desperation, I could not accept that. I had to get to her. I was even more determined than ever now, just so I could prove to her that she could love and be loved. So I kept on digging. In fact, that night, I didn't stop.
Are you there?
I'm here.
I'm so tired.
You've been digging all night. What did you expect?
Yeah, okay, fine. But I'm more than physically tired. I'm emotionally drained. I just need to talk. Can we do that?
We never do anything else.
I suppose that's true. I just want to talk about something more than we usually talk about, that's all.
What do you mean?
I want to know something personal about you. You know, that stuff you never want to tell me. What's the use? We both know you don't want to talk about it.
What do you want to know?
I want to hear about your childhood. What was your life like? You know, before the bad things happened.
Well, if you really want to know...
I do. I really, really do.
Okay, it was a fairly normal childhood, I suppose. I used to run in the fields near where we lived. I played with my friend who lived near us. We would chase each other through the tall grass. We used to play hide-and-seek. Sometimes we'd hike into the forest and pretend he was a prince and I was a princess. And he'd come and fight the dragon and rescue me. When we became a bit older, we would sometimes sneak out and just look at the stars and dream of worlds far away. They were silly dreams, but we were young.
I had a similar experience growing up. I had one female friend that I used to hang out with, and we used to do the same kinds of things.
She was the love you lost.
Yeah, Sarah. Her name was Sarah.
Kind of figured when you said Sarah just then.
Come on, stop kidding around.
Sorry, I am taking this serious. I promise. You still miss her, huh?
Yeah, a lot.
Is that why you're so desperate to get to me?
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with that. I'd like to think it's deeper than that, though, but I suppose you may have a point. Maybe I am trying in some small way to make up for her loss. Yeah, tell me about your mother. Was she a kind woman?
Oh, yes. She was the kindest woman you could ever hope to meet.
And she made you cookies on a cold winter afternoon, I'll bet.
Yes. She made the best sugar cookies you ever tasted. I would come in from playing in the snow, and she would be there, holding this huge stack of yummies. I would leap into her arms, and she'd sit me down and pour me some milk. Those were the best days of my life. A memory that I held on to when I was thrown in here.
It's a good memory, and obviously you're still holding on to it. I suppose it's what keeps you going, you know, memories and thoughts like that. They keep you here, keep you grounded here on Earth.
Yes, I suppose there is some truth to that. I never thought of it before, but that must be what keeps me here. You must have memories of your mother that kept you going as well.
Yeah, but it's not my mother, it's my grandmother. She pretty much raised me. When I think of her now, I always see her baking something delicious. She was really good at it.
I bet she was.
She was the best. She would make this delicious chocolate cake. No, not the ready-made junk you'd buy in a store. Nothing came out of a box at Grandma's house. No siree. It was always fresh and homemade, right from scratch. Her chocolate cake was simply... to die for. And if you were in her kitchen, you were working. There were no free rides, so I learned how to cook. She taught me. When other boys were out playing soldiers or cowboys and Indians, I was cooking with Grandma. But I never regretted it. Those were good times. I miss her.
It sounds like you loved her very much.
Yeah, she was my rock. She was my biggest fan. While she was in the world, everything seemed right, you know? Since she died, I've felt like I've been walking on a tightrope without a safety net beneath me. Maybe that's one reason things have not been so good for me in the past few years.
Since she left my life, I've been through so many trials. Maybe this is just one more. You know what? It's one I intend to pass. I'm getting out of here. And if it's at all possible, I'm taking you with me.
This again. As I've already told you, it's simply impossible. I wish you could understand that.
Well, I don't. And what's more, I'm not likely to either. I didn't listen. I just went back to digging, more determined than ever. Maybe it was how we connected through talking about our childhoods, but I felt this renewed desperation to reach her. I had to look into her eyes, to hold her. Nothing was going to stop me now. That was my determination. I dug around the clock for the next 2 days. I was like a man possessed. I couldn't stop myself. I was determined to break through that wall and find her. Then, finally it happened. The thing I had feared would never happen again. I saw light. It was only a crack. I could barely see it. One tiny shaft of light. But when you've been in pitch blackness for so long, a crack of light is as bright as the sun. Inside, I was excited. In fact, as giddy as a schoolboy. But I held that excitement in as I continued to claw and scratch my way through the last few inches of that wall dividing my cell and the next. As the crack became larger and larger, I could feel how close I was getting to finally seeing another human being again. It had been so long. I had heard that beautiful voice for so long now. It was like a dream, knowing I would finally get to see the lovely face attached to that voice. And I was only moments away from realizing that dream. Or so I thought.
Come on! Come on! I'm almost there! Almost there! Almost there!
Can you hear me? I'm almost there! I'm coming! The sunlight coming through that cell window was so bright, it was like being caught out in a snowstorm. Like a whiteout. I couldn't see anything but a white light that seemingly engulfed my entire being. It was so bright, it gave me a headache. I had been in the dark so long, my eyes hadn't been prepared for the light of day. It took a long while for them to adjust. But what I saw next would chill my soul to its very core.
Where are you? I don't understand. There's no one here. Just a pile of bones.
At first, I was sure my eyes were simply playing tricks on me. But they weren't. The cell I had found was empty. Well, nearly empty. As I had observed, the only person in that cell had died long ago. So long ago that only a set of bones remained. My heart shattered as I realized that I must have been going the wrong way the whole time. To my mind, the cell was empty, but I was wrong on more than one level, though I didn't realize it at the time. It wasn't empty at all, not completely. In one corner of the cell lay some parchment, paper from a bygone age, yellowed and old. It lay beside the skeleton I had found, and lying beside that was a sharpened piece of coal-like rock. Someone had made a makeshift pencil. On the parchment was drawn a bird. A bird sitting in a barred window. I took the paper and the makeshift pencil and went back to my hole. I had to find her. I had to figure out which way to turn next. I was desperate and I was losing my grip on my emotions. I had worked so hard for so long to get to her, but she just wasn't there. Somehow, I was still alone.
Are you there? Please, please, talk to me. I tried to get to you. I really tried. But I failed you. I failed you.
I fell to my knees and sobbed my eyes out. She remained silent,
and she would remain so for the rest of that day. As the next day dawned, I evaluated my newfound assets. I took the pencil and paper in hand and began to write my tale, the tale of a man who had fallen from grace and who had been thrown into the deepest, darkest hole in the world. I began to write. I wrote for several days. I didn't hear a peep out of her in all that time. But, on the dawn of a new day, I would finally hear from her again. But what she had to tell me would chill me to the bone.
You're there! Oh, I was so worried you were angry with me. You said it. I'm sorry. I was sure I would find you. I really was, but you must simply be in another cell, not the one I thought you were in.
Yes. You're right about that. I am in another cell.
Then I'll find you, I promise.
But you already have. Don't you see?
What? What do you mean?
That first night we spoke. Remember? I told you, you weren't alone. I wasn't lying.
You've been my constant companion since I arrived here, and I'm grateful for that. You got me through so much, and now it's my turn to help you.
Don't you see? I've been trying to tell you. I am beyond help. I am condemned. I will remain in this dark hole forever.
What do you mean? Where are you?
You made it to my cell. Could you not see me?
At first, her words confused me, but suddenly, it dawned on me. I understood what she was telling me, what she had been trying to tell me all along. And it all suddenly made sense. I had dug my way through and into her cell. I had found the only other person in that prison besides myself.
The skeleton.
I quickly crawled back into the other cell, and as the sun came up that morning, I could see the skeleton so clearly. It was that of a woman. She lay there so peacefully, so I went to her, placed my hands around her head, looked into the sockets where her eyes had once been, and suddenly I could see them. The most beautiful blue eyes I had ever seen, and they were staring back at me.
Can you see me now? You've wanted to look into my eyes for so long. The final gift I can give to you is your one true wish. But, as I have told you again and again, I am beyond help. I died here. Long ago. And I am cursed to remain here. Forever.
This time I could see her as she wept. I could see the tears as they fell from her eyes one last time. I cried too. And then something happened to my mind. I think it snapped that day. I realized that I truly was alone. There was no way out of this nightmare. I screamed and screamed, but no one was there anymore to hear me in that deep, dark hole. No one ever came to find me. Now all that is left is to tell the tale, to leave my legacy of terror behind. Whoever finds this journal, beware of cries in the night. They are not your salvation waiting to be found. They are simply the cries of one woman and one man who can never touch. So heed this warning. If ever you find yourself thrown into a deep, dark hole with no hope of rescue, and you hear someone near, remember, beware, because you may just hear a voice.
in the dark.
It is said that this particular bit of parchment was found in the hand of a female skeleton. No other remains were ever found in those prison cells. So it begs the question, were these the writings of a man who experienced something extraordinary? Or simply the mad etchings of a mind driven insane by darkness? We may never truly know. You have been listening to the season finale of Showcase, part 2 of A Voice in the Dark, which was written by Jonathan Patrick Russell, which was based on an idea by Aurora McPherson, and which starred, in order of appearance, Brian Reed as the young man, and Deborah Adams as the young woman. The incidental music was provided by Kevin MacLeod. The post-production editor, sound designer, executive producer, and director was Jonathan Patrick Russell. The series, Dream Realm Showcase, was created by Jonathan Patrick Russell, and the copyright is held by Dream Realm Enterprises. Any rebroadcast or reproduction of this program without the express written permission of Dream Realm Enterprises is strictly prohibited. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit us on the web at dreamrealmsite.com. And if you'd like to email us with any of your comments or questions, you may do so at darkbuilding1@yahoo.com. The copyright to this program is held by Dream Realm Enterprises 2012, all rights reserved. And finally, this has been your host, Jeff Niles, for Dream Realm Showcase.
You have been listening to a production of Dream Realm Enterprises. Copyright 2012, all rights reserved.